We're going to transition a little bit into hearing what the Lord has to say. I always I don't prepare in the like traditional sense. Like I don't have notes and stuff typically. But every time I do, the Lord shifts everything I think I'm going to say and what I write. And today is no different, which is, this is hard for me today. And I don't know where I'll go in all of this, but it's hard for me in that this is the first series I've actually stayed on track pretty well. And I feel like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to go into John 14 at all, but I might. Who knows? But I have a different direction I feel like the Lord wants me to push into a little bit and see where we go. So let's pray, and then we'll jump into some of His Word. Written and spoken. So, Father, thank You for Your leading. Thank You for Your voice. Lord, I pray that You would be glorified and honored and made known today in a mighty way. Pray that You would just blow Your breath of life into this place. God, that we would come to know You in a greater way today. So I call forth the life. I call forth life in each one of you that God wants to breathe into today. Thank You, Lord. Bless the reading of Your Word. Bless the hearing of Your Word. Break down every obstacle that we have put up to not receive today. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start in really two different places. I'm vacillating a little bit, but Isaiah 55 is what really first came to mind. So I think I'm going to just take you one scripture in Isaiah 55, and then I'm going to take you over to Hosea chapter 4 and just one verse out of there. So Isaiah 55, verse 11. I want to read this in a... Do you have the New Living on that? I think that's the version I want. You don't? Okay. This will be fun. So Isaiah 55:11 says this, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth." This word is, in Hebrew it's the word dabar, which is a decree, would be I don't want to say a better way of saying it because it's not, but another way of saying it would be, my decrees go forth. It shall not return to me void. Again, the word void, it could be, there's a couple different thoughts. It could be unfulfilled, or it could be, it says that in the Passion, doesn't it? It says unfulfilled in the Passion. It also could be the word empty. Will not come back to me empty. So in other words, when I decree a thing, it is accomplished. And it actually goes on and says that. It shall accomplish what I please. In the Passion it says, it will accomplish what I want. No, it doesn't say it that way. Performs my purpose and fulfills the mission I want it to. Yeah, I sent it out to accomplish. Same thing. It's just my words versus Brian Simmons' words. What are you going to do? So as we're sitting here in worship and Amity begins to make a declaration, I saw I saw two things. I saw a stamp of approval come forth, like every time she said it, I saw this. It was like a notary sort of. I don't know. I don't know how else to say what I saw, but it was like his approval on what it was like. Yes, yes, and his mark was being put every time she said it. It was like the mark of approval, and that's when Isaiah 55:11 hit me, that as the Lord decrees a thing, I'm not trying to change the word, so hear what I'm saying. It is accomplished. It has already been accomplished. Do you remember when Jesus went into Jairus' house and he's walking in and the people are like, don't waste the teacher's time. She's already dead. You guys remember this? This was about his daughter. And Jesus said this, do not listen to what they're saying. She is only sleeping. You guys remember this? Was she dead or was she sleeping? Yes is the right answer. I don't. Whether she was dead or not is irrelevant, because the moment he said she's only sleeping, she was no longer dead. Because when a decree is made, it is already accomplished as it comes out of his mouth. When Jay read this morning, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the very first thing that happens is God says, let there be light. And out of the mouth of God broke forth light, right? Whether it wanted to be there or not. Right? The expansion of the universe began to take place. And he never said, okay, enough, stop. It is still expanding, because out of God's mouth at 286,000 feet per second, light burst forth. 286,810, I think, is the something like that. I don't know. I feel a little nerdy today. But out of God's mouth. Actually, the truth is, another way to say that verse would be like this. Let the one who is light shine forth. Jesus said, I am the light. Let the one who is light burst forth out of who he is. Hosea 4:6 says this. Actually, I want to read it to you out of the New Living, because I just really like the way that this... You'll know this verse. It's very familiar. Did I say Isaiah? I meant Hosea. I hope I said it right. Hosea 4:6. It says, my people are being destroyed. Watch this. Because they don't know me. I know your version probably says lack of knowledge, which... same thing. Actually, that word knowledge is, how do you say that? I think it's A-T-A-A-H. But it's a derivative of the word yada, which is an intimate knowledge of someone. But it also is the same word as discernment. My people perish for lack of discernment. Or my people are being destroyed because they don't know me, or they don't know how to discern me. We have an idea of what we like about God. We struggle with what we know about Him. Let me repeat that, because I think that needs to sink in, because I think it's more profound than you're letting it be. We like... How did I say that? Where'd it go? Somebody remember what I said? I'll say it this way. We enjoy, or we are okay with the attributes we like about God. We struggle to fully embrace who He fully is, or what we begin to know about Him, so we push some of the things that we go, that can't be Him, or that can't be, and we struggle. I'll give you one of them. This has been going on for more than just this current younger generation, but I feel like Gen Z and what they call Generation Alpha now, which I really don't like that, but it's what they're calling, but have kind of put an exclamation point on this. The idea of truth. My truth, your truth, their truth, you pick whatever you like truth. And we struggle through the truth about God because there's things we don't know or understand. And as somebody reveals something, we go, I don't like that part of God. I really like these feel good, feel nice things about God that make me feel really good. I'm going somewhere with this in a second. If we don't allow ourselves to know Him in the fullness of who He is. That's not the right way to say it, because you can't possibly know that. We are constantly cutting at the godness of God. Anybody understand what I just said? We are taking away, at least that's our attempt, taking away in our own lives who God fully is, because we embrace only things that we either understand or that we like or that makes us feel good. And we make an attempt to create God in our image instead of allowing ourselves to be created in His. So I am going to go into John 14, because I think this is kind of a good segue to jump into this chapter really quick. John chapter 14, verse 1. I'll set this up for you really quick before we spill into this, but The Last Supper has taken place. Judas has left. There's very little time left before Jesus is actually handed over to the Romans. And Jesus comes and tries to encourage these guys, right? He's got his closest confidants, his friends, his disciples, his apostles. He's got them around Him, and He is unfolding something to them that they can't quite get. Like they're struggling to understand the fullness of it. And you see this throughout because he keeps telling them, like, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be handed over. I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be killed. And they're like, well, then let's not go. Or are you kidding me? Or we'll die with you. Or, you know, all these things. So imagine how many of you came from a home, probably not many of you, but some of you, if you came from a home that is a divorced home and you were a young person, maybe a child or a teenager, when your parents sat you down and they said, your mom and I are getting a divorce, and your heart went, what? Or maybe you can imagine, like, being, I can only think about this stuff right now as being young, but maybe being younger and your best friend tells you, I got to move away. You know, my family's being PCS'd, or we are leaving the state, or and your heart goes, what? Like, this is a tender moment that's about to take place in John 14. There is emotion. There is it's loss, but it's not. Like they don't understand how it could be both. You're telling us you're leaving. So Jesus says this: let your heart not be troubled. Good way to start. Now my heart's troubled. You're telling me not to. Why? Sage always tells me when you preach, don't tell people, don't get offended about what I'm about to say, because immediately it's like, what am I going to get offended about? And so, yeah, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, I don't like the way this is put, but in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I want to stop there for just a second. Jesus is not Chip Gaines that went to heaven and was like, look at all these mansions that we built. Right? In my opinion, again, this is my opinion, the word mansion, not the best choice of word. It is an option, but it speaks more about abiding place, abode or dwelling, or it even could be used, the word family could be used there. Like, I'm going to prepare a place for you to become family through what I'm about to do for you. I'm going to make space for you in my Father so you can be where I already am. I and the Father are one. He and me and him. Now I am in you and you are in him. You guys remember these verses, right? We have a hard time separating, and I understand completely why the writer, or why this was translated this way. I even understand that you know, in Jewish custom, the bridegroom would leave the bride and go back to his father and prepare a home for the two to go and live. And in an hour and a time when nobody knew, he would come back and steal her away, and they, right? Not like dealer, but they would be married and there would already be a house prepared, and so I understand, like, the custom and the idea, but it's so far beyond that. I know we like to say, I hope my mansion's next to your, like, I've heard people say, I just need the janitor's quarters, I just, you know, what? Stop it! We are being ushered into an abiding place with the one who spoke us into existence. I know he formed Adam, but But he was like, I need Joas Miller born this day, this time, even to live in this season and this time. And I, you know what I mean? Like, he spoke forth. He made a declaration of when, where, how, all of that was in the heart and the mind of God before it was ever done. And he invites us all back through the way of Jesus into this place of abiding in him forever. Verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Golly. I find myself, I'll use myself as an example because I don't want to throw rocks at anyone. I find myself, when I think about God or I give God worship, I find myself automatically looking upward and like, because my whole life I've been taught that God sits out there on a throne and one day I will be with him out there, wherever that is. And so I, in an attempt to try and, I don't know what the right word is, but I set my face to see him, but sometimes I feel like I'm looking past him because he's standing right here. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because we struggle with what is true about God because we lean into what we think we know about him. And God is not this far off, distant, white dude on a throne that throws down lightning bolts and strikes people when they're bad. That's Zeus. No, I'm kidding. But it's kind of the imagery that we end up getting in ourselves because we struggle with the truth that Jesus said God is as close as the air that we breathe. And this is found in the prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer, which is a terrible way of describing that. But what we call the Lord's Prayer, Jesus describes God as being as close to us as the very air that we breathe, because he's in all, he's through all, he's not, yes, he's seated on a throne, but also, yes, he's here, and yes, he dwells inside of me, and yes, the fullness of who he was, this is Colossians 1:15, the fullness of who he was existed in the person of Jesus. And like, we can't get this, we can't understand this, we struggle through this. But yet there's something inside of me that consistently wants to push into what I can understand and know in my finite little mind. And it's not that it's wrong. It just creates a truth for me that is not the fullness of truth that Jesus wanted us to get. So let's keep reading. I'm trying to set this up just a little. Where I go, you know, and the way, you know. Thomas speaks up and says, no, we don't. Watch, keep going. Thomas is like, Lord, we don't know where you're going. Like, how can we know where we're going? We don't even know where you've been. We don't even know. Like, you leave, you disappear, we don't know. Now you're saying you're going away. You're getting, what do you mean we know? What do you mean we know the way? Right, I addressed weeks ago about what we call doubting Thomas. Disagree wholeheartedly. This is not a doubt coming from Thomas. This is a desire to be with the one he loves. And he's going, whoa, I want to make sure we're clear. This reminds me of Sage a little bit. Am I kidding? I'm not kidding. I'll start to text something, and she'll be like, honey, make sure that you're clear on this, and make sure you say that, and, right? And I'm like, it's totally clear what I'm about to say. It's not, but it feels like it is to me. But to her, she's like, how could you know? We can't know the way. We can't know, right? And so Thomas is struggling to go, I want to be very clear. You're saying this, but I don't feel like I know that. I mean, even talking in riddles to us this whole time, we don't even know. Like, you make food appear. You tell us to feed them, and we don't know. What do you mean feed them? There's only this, right? They're like, we don't get it. And how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way. Still super clear, right? I am the truth. Getting clearer by the moment. And I am the life. No one comes to the Father. Is that right? Yeah, no one comes to the Father except through me. Again. And you can see this as it gets further down here. I'm going to keep reading because I think it gets interesting. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Okay. Like, just read it from what it says. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and you've seen him. This is not getting clearer. Not in my book. I'm like, whoa, team. Okay, keep going. Here's Philip now. Lord, show us the Father, and it'll be enough. That'll be it. That's all we need. Just show us the Father. That's a great idea. Right? Because of what Jesus just said. I'm the way to him. I'm the truth about him. I'm the life that exists for you to come into. And you should have known him. You should have known him by seeing me, but now you do know him. Philip's like, hey, just show us the Father. We'll be good. That'll be enough. Like, that seems logical. It seems practical. It seems actually like a pretty good idea. It is sufficient for us. Verse 9. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long? That's when you know you're in trouble. When you hear things like, woe to you, or oh my gosh, you know, how you have little faith, you know, these type of things. But how long do I have to be with you? Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? If I'm Philip, I'm going to go, what about them? I was the only brave one to say anything. They're all back there thinking it. You're Jesus. You're God incarnate. You know everything they're thinking. Get them. Right? That's me. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Keep going. Just a little further. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. This all is so confusing. So confusing. We quote this verse a lot. We love this verse. Greater works you shall do. But we struggle with the beginning part of it, which is, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Coming into me gets you access to being in the Father, right? That, like, there's this whole struggle because we don't understand what that looks like. We don't understand the in him dimension. And we don't understand the him and me dimension. We And I'm not saying I got the fullness of understanding of this. I'm just saying we struggle with this in him and him in me dimension that is I'm not even going to go there. So I want to break down just a little, because I don't have a lot of time, but I want to break down just for a second this whole idea of the way. So how many of you have heard, like, all religions lead to God? Okay. I was on, Sage and I were on a flight with someone here recently that was sitting next to us that was part of, do you guys know what Baha'i faith is? So their Baha'i faith believes you can study whatever book you want to study, Bhagavad Gita, which is the Hindu, that one too. The Quran, the whatever's out there, you know, books that Wall Street Journal. You can read all of these things, and eventually we're all climbing the same mountain. We're just coming at it from different trails. And I'm like, no. Do you know, in fact, so we're accused of being intolerant in the way, in Jesus, that in ways like Muslim or Hindu or Buddhist or Krishnas or whatever out there, in ways that they are not, we are said to be intolerant. So hey, let me give you a little bit of, what's that? A little bit of understanding of maybe a couple of the other, they're all do this, but if you don't ever look at any other religion out there, you could find yourself struggling to know how to minister or witness to somebody about Jesus, because they're like, you're so, what do you mean there's only one way? What do you mean the way is Jesus? What do you mean, you know, because like this religion over here, they don't claim they're the only way. This religion over here doesn't claim they're the only way. They just claim that eventually we all go to the same destination. Allah is the same as God, and enlightenment is the same idea of making it to heaven. You know, all these different thoughts and avenues go, but you are so staunch in this is the way. So before I unfold any of that, I'll put it to you this way. I was in, we'll just say Seattle Airport. Seattle Airport, I'm coming home to Anchorage, and my gate, I don't know what it is, right? You come in, your phone doesn't tell you what gate to go to. And somebody comes up to you and says, let's say it's Jay. Jay comes up to me and says, every gate goes to Anchorage. Just go get on whatever plane you want. I'm going to end up in like Berlin or somewhere, you know. But let's switch the thing. And now I know that in order to get to Anchorage, he needs to go to N17. And I tell him, Jay, you need to go to N17. That is the plane going back to Anchorage. But what do I need to go to N17 for? I want to go to D14. Why are you so narrow-minded? Why do I got to go to one gate? Why can't I just get... I mean, they're all airplanes. They all have pilots. They're all fueled up. They're all ready to go. They have airline attendants. They have all of it's ready to go. Why can't I just go get... You're so closed-minded. That doesn't make sense to it. We're like, well, that's dumb. Nobody would actually think that. I want to read something to you really quick. Now, this is in the Quran. It is, I would give you the, if you want the reference, you can come ask me for it later. I actually have these down, but whoever seeks a way other than Islam, it will never be accepted from them. And in the hereafter, they will be among the losers. How will Allah guide a people who choose to disbelieve after they had believed, acknowledge the messenger to be true, and received clear proofs? For Allah does not guide the wrongdoing people. Their reward is that they will be condemned by Allah, the angels, and all of humanity. That doesn't sound very non-exclusive to me. And again, I'm not here trying to throw too many rocks at too many things, but those who say, this is another passage, those who say Allah is the Messiah, son of Mary, have certainly fallen into disbelief. The Messiah himself said, O children of Israel, worship Allah, my Lord and your Lord. Whoever associates others with Allah in worship will surely be forbidden paradise by Allah. Their home will be the fire, and the wrongdoers will have no helpers. The thing that Brendan said a minute ago, that too. I know how to spell it. B-H-A-G-A-V-A-D. G-I-T-A. There it is. Anyway, it is a quote out of there. Those who are not faithful on the path of devotional service cannot attain me. It actually says attain enlightenment or Krishna. O conqueror of foes, but return to birth and death in this material world. If you know Hinduism, the idea is that enlightenment, ultimately you become fully enlightened. And so if you don't follow the path laid out in this book, you will only be reincarnated, you know, as a dung beetle and a whatever, it doesn't say it that way, but as a material thing, you'll never reach full enlightenment. Sounds like I don't want to go there. I want to read this scripture to you, and then we will dive into this. Psalm 22. You can turn there if you have a Bible. Psalm 22. Before I read this verse, I need to make this statement. And I've made this statement before, but you need to hear it again. Jesus is coming, his living, his dying, his resurrection did not usher in a new reality or a new truth about God. It confirmed the reality and the truth that has been true all along.
Psalm 22, verse 27. Says, all the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and the families of the nation shall worship before you. There is what Jesus was accomplishing by becoming the gate, the door, if you will, by becoming the way for us not to be ushered into eternity in heaven, which I'm not saying that's not part of it. I'm saying that's not the culmination of it. It is an ushering into Him so we can be in the family of God in a way that has, from the beginning of time, always been true. There is an awakening, and as truth is revealed and truth is accepted, there is an awakening that takes place in the heart and the mind of the person who is hearing it. We lack the discernment to believe that it could be possible for me or for you or for you or you or whatever, because we have built these truth pillars, right, that actually become an obstacle for the real truth to hit our hearts in a way that explodes in us and brings the revelation of and discernment of who He is. So I would contend that one of the things that Jesus opened up as the way and the truth and the life is the ability for us to open or be open up enough to be ushered into the way that brings that which has always been true so that we can live the life that He created for us to live in the beginning. Nothing is new that is ushered in by Jesus that wasn't always true about God from the very beginning. His design for us has always been, and this is not about religion or works or anything else. This is about God's design and desire for us to be near Him has always been His plan from the very beginning. Jesus didn't usher in a new plan. He fulfilled what God already established as truth from the very beginning. This is why Jesus said, I am the truth about who He is. Everything you see in me, everything you think you know about Him, if it cannot be found in Jesus, should not be believed by us. Okay. It's hard to drink with a lid on. There is a time that is established by God that meets our chronos time, the chronological time in here on earth. God's timing meets that timing, and there's things that shift and change in our lives through hearing His word. I'm going to take you somewhere really quick. I heard this on Tuesday night. The Lord spoke this to my spirit. We all know this story. I hope so. If you don't, read it. The story of Jonah in the book of Jonah. We know this story, right? God comes to Jonah, says, hey, Jonah, I have a word for Nineveh, right? That city, it's come up before me. I want you to go and share this word with them. Jonah knew that if he went and shared the word of the Lord, the people would repent, they would change their way, they would be spared by God. Jonah wanted them dead. They were enemies of theirs. He wanted them dead. Jonah jumped on a ship and headed to Tarshish. You guys remember this? On the way to Tarshish, God comes after Jonah. Now watch. My mind goes like this, because this is what I was taught. If you don't do it, someone else will. Like there's a whole line of people waiting to jump in to fulfill what God called me to fulfill. If that's the case, doesn't God go, "Bye, Jonah, I'm going to go find Billy"? Right? Because that's a good Jewish name. I don't know. I'm going to go find, you know, whatever. Mary. Mary gets asked by God. Right? "Hey, I want to do something in you. The Savior of the world is going to be born in you. How can this be? I've never known a man. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, overshadow you, and you shall be with child. Let it be unto me as you have spoken." What if Mary says no? Does God move on and go, "You know, I think I'm going to find Sheila"? Another good Jewish name. I don't know where these names are coming from. "I'm going to go find this person or that." No. God has a plan and a purpose set up for each of us that He has had from the very beginning, and He continues to pull at us in time to fulfill what He's called us to do, right? And the way that we do it is by stepping through the way, which is being in Jesus, because we don't fulfill it in our own strength, our own ability, but we step into the strength of who He is, so that what we think of ourselves, whether it seems true or not, suddenly the truth of who He is becomes the whole life of what we're doing. There's a reason why Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life," because it takes us out of the picture of doing things in our own strength. Because once we step into the way, right, the truth about what we're doing shifts to who He is, not who I am. I can't fly. No matter how much I believe it, no matter how much I want to try, I can't fly. But if I step into Him and He says, "It's time to fly," guess what I get to do? I'm not saying we're... You understand. I didn't know what other example to use. You leap over tall buildings, right, all that stuff. But when I accept my mission inside of being in Him, the truth about what I'm doing becomes who He is, not who I am. And the life that I'm called to live is lived through walking through the way, stepping into the truth, and the life being fully given to me. That life is not just about heaven one day, or sitting over here, or being over there. It is about living in eternity, here and now, from here and now. Do I get to go to heaven? Yes. Do I get to live in eternity with Him? Yes. But it starts now. How? By stepping in the way, the only way, right? Through gate N17, not gate D6. Because if I go on the wrong plane, I'm going to get to the wrong destination. I want to do one thing really quick. And you have to participate. You get no choice. You won't get your participation ribbon if you don't. I need everybody who has a pointer finger, hold up your pointer finger. Okay. Now I need you to close your eyes. I need you to really close your eyes for real. I want everybody to point north. Okay, now I want you to open your eyes and look around. You got people pointing all over. But that, most of you know that's a good... North is that way. That's east. Look, no matter how much you wanted to believe, that is north. I'm telling you, that's north. It ain't. That ain't it. There's only one way that's north. Up. Yeah. Thank you, Chigak High School. No. Which way is north? That way. Anyway. It's hard being in the sanctuary because we've prayed so many times north, south, east, and west. Yeah. But I actually took my compass out because I didn't want to be wrong. But my compass was wrong, which doesn't help. Yes, I know. It was wrong. I took mine out. I took Sage's out. Yep. And Sage's and mine were two different directions. I was like, I know where north is, and that ain't it. Sage's phone was right. Mine was not right. And then I took my iPad out and opened the compass on it, and it just sat there still. Didn't move at all. Didn't matter what direction I went. It was still just going one direction. I'm like, weird. Lord, what are you trying to say to me? Trust my wife, yes. You don't need your own devices. You come equipped with a wife. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I said. Right there. Mm-hmm. Your phone's wrong. Yeah. Look. Okay. Really quick, I promise I'm done. If you follow that, you're going to end up in the wrong place. Right? So if your compass is off, this is a lesson. Listen. If your compass of truth is off, guess where you end up? Not truth. Even if there's a little bit of truth in it, like that. That's kind of north. That's like northeast. Justin and Ethan are not here. I was going to ask them about flying. Like, get in your plane and just go, it's pretty close to north. Right. I know. I recognize. Yep, that is true. And mine is set to true north. But, and maybe that's why they were different. Anyway, I know. There's magnetic north, there's true north. I do understand. I was a Marine. This is the one thing we had to learn. Shoot north, shoot south, shoot, like, just shoot. No. Anyway, you're making me digress. If we're off just a little, because we've determined there's another way other than Jesus. Now we stepped out of the way, which also means we stepped out of the truth, which means the life we're living is not the life that is in Him. Being in Him sets us in the way, right? Do you guys remember, there is a way that seems right unto a man, the end therein leads to death. So if I'm in Him, and I'm in the way, then it's no longer about what it seems like to me or not. Now, His way is my way, His truth is my truth, and the life that He lives is the life for me. Right? That's the life that I now live. Thank you, Lord. So, I don't know all of you. I don't know where you're all at. I don't know as far as whether you actually know Jesus or not, whether you actually have decided, I think all religions lead to one place, or whether you have decided you think you know what truth is and you don't need anything other than what you feel and what, you know, you think makes you feel good, and what you want to believe about God or what you don't want to believe about God, or if you have done any of these things outside of the person of Jesus, that is the way, that is the gate, that is the light, that is the bread, that is the Messiah, that is all in all, if we step outside of that, our journey is going to take us in a wrong direction. The good news is he's constantly calling us back into the way. Right? The call is not a one-time call and, ooh, you blew it, you stepped out. It's, hey, you know how many times I've been called, but hey, Zach, to the right just a little bit. You know? Because he loves me enough to keep me in the way. He loves me enough to keep me in the truth. He loves me enough to bring me back to the life that I'm called to live. And the goodness of who he is encompasses all of those things, and he pulls me into it until I begin to mirror forth who he is in a way that it's no longer about me, but it's about him. And so I don't know where you are with this. I don't know where your heart is in whether you are captive to him or not. I don't know whether you have given yourself to other things or whether you are fully in the kingdom of God or not. But I want to tell you today, I heard the Lord very clearly say, I'm calling my people. This is where the Isaiah 22:27 was. I'm calling my people to remember. I'm calling my people to awaken, to remember, to turn to me. And there is always a call going out to remember. Always a call going out to be brought back into the way, because the way was made for us to step into that through everything Jesus did for us. But it goes beyond saying a prayer or hoping one day I get, you know, to heaven. But it is a life lived out here and now through him. So could you stand with me, please? I'm going to pray for you, for us, but I also want to offer an invitation to anyone who feels like you want to respond to the word of the Lord today. I want to invite you to come, but I do want to just pray over all of us as a community, as a house. So, Father, I thank you that your word goes forth. It accomplishes everything that you send it to do. That, Lord, your word it's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Separates bone and marrow, soul and spirit. And, Lord, I pray that as your word and your decree has gone out and gone forth, and you've accomplished what you've designed and desired to accomplish, I pray that we would step even further into the way, that we would understand in a greater measure today what being in you begins to look like, and that our truth would only be found in your truth, and our life would line up with the life that you've called us to live. Father, I pray that you would pull us further into this in you dimension, that you created a way, you made a way for us